With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, our hymns are 782, 605, 411, and 698. Pastor Mark Neville's sermon is entitled Living as Cats for Christ in a World Going to the Dogs for the Devil, taken from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Welcome, and my Lord bless our worship this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Christian worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We gather together on this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, and our opening hymn for us this morning is hymn 782. Gracious God, you send great blessings. Hymn 782, we will stand for the last stanza.
Service setting two.
begins for us on page 167 of our hymnals, or you may follow along in your service folder. We begin with confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows upon them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We speak responsibly our intro from Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? With my whole heart, I seek you. I have stored up your word in my heart. Blessed are you, O Lord. With my lips I declare in the way of your testimonies I delight. I will meditate on your precepts. I will delight in your statutes.
I will not forget
your word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray the collect of the day. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading appointed for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is recorded in the 58th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the second chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the New Testament. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of our Lord. We stand as we join in the singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Amen.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We invite the children to come forward for the children's message. As they do so, we sing hymn 605, "Father Welcomes," hymn 605, stanza 1.
Show you like to watch? What's your favorite show to watch? You don't know, you just have one that you love. Oh, you have a new axolotl that you love? What about you? You don't know. Caden has shows that he loves to watch, he just doesn't want to tell you, right? We all have something that we love, but what happens whenever that show's not on TV anymore, or our cookies are all gone, or our favorite toy breaks? Do we love it anymore? No, our love for that is gone, and there's nothing left to love. Many kids say that they love video games, or they love to play a sport, but when it gets hard and we get frustrated, do we love it anymore? No, we don't love it anymore, do we? People go to the movies, right? Who loves to go to the movies? Because you love to get the popcorn. But when the movie's over and the popcorn's all gone, is there anything left to love? No, there's nothing left to love anymore. Well, is there any kind of love that lasts forever? What kind of love lasts forever? Yeah, like your parents love you. Good job. Who else loves you? That's going to last. Yeah, very good. God's love is going to last forever. No matter what time of the day it is, he doesn't love you for just a day, does he? Like, he loves you today, but tomorrow he's not going to love you. Is that how that works? No. What about for a month? Or a year? No. God's love is always, no matter what. What about whenever we make a bad choice? Does God still love us? What about when we sin? What about when the weather's bad and it's thundering? Does God still love us? He does. What about when the internet breaks and you can't watch TV or play your favorite game? Does he still love us? He does. You are correct. God's love will never stop. It never gets weak. It's never going to fade away. No matter if you're angry or tired or you're disobedient and you're not listening, God still loves you. His love will endure forever. So we might have a favorite food or a favorite game or a favorite movie that we love, but our love for those is very short compared to God's, because how long does God's love last? Forever and ever. You're right. Will you guys fold your hands and pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, remind us that your love lasts forever, no matter what. Amen.
We'll continue with the singing of the hymn of the day. It is hymn 411, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, hymn 411. mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the text for our sermon meditation is from our gospel reading, Matthew chapter 5, and the first two paragraphs printed in your worship folder. Our nation is roughly divided between households with cats and ones with dogs. Are you one or the other? Are you neither? Are you both? I grew up as a dog person, if you can call a poodle a dog. The first 25 years of our married life, Cindy and I had cats. Then we had a 10-year dog-sitting agreement with a beagle named Cooper. I called him our wonder dog because I wondered why we had him. So I have experience with both dogs and cats. A dog will do anything for attention, acceptance, and approval. A dog will roll over, fetch a stick, and shake hands. A dog just wants its ears scratched, its tummy rubbed, and a doggy treat. A dog will jump into an icy pond, run through the woods, or retrieve a dead bird, if that's what its master wants. Cats, however, are a different story. Dogs have masters. Cats have staff. You don't own a cat. A cat owns you. They are independent creatures. Have you ever asked a cat to roll over? It will look at you like you are crazy. A cat does what a cat wants to do, which might mean to sleep in your bed all day, to sit on your lap, or to get in your face while you are watching television. Then a cat is off on its own. A cat will show love, but it will do so on its own terms. Cats don't need acceptance or approval from anyone. They naturally feel good about themselves. So why such talk about dogs and cats? Well, their characteristics are very similar to how we live our lives in this sinful world. Like dogs, we want the approval of the crowd. We will do demeaning, even destructive things in order to get admiring attention from others. But as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be like cats. That is, we are to live proud of the way that God has made us and claimed us. And we are to live independently from the approval and acceptance of the sinful world around us. We are Jesus' disciples who reflect the goodness and the glory that he gives to the world around us for the praise of our Heavenly Father. Those of us who have been around for a while, I noticed that things in this world are getting worse. There's a loss of shared values, a confusion of what's right and what's wrong, and a disdain for morality, which is seen as being a dirty word. Any type of sex is considered to be a divine right, while life itself is considered as being optional. There's no basic decency anymore. Greed, physical pleasure, selfishness, and the wanting of attention from others, look at me, control the actions of people. An old cliche says that the world is going to the dogs. But if those dogs are smart, they won't want it. We live like dogs when our actions are influenced by what everyone else does, rather than by what God would have us do. A dog wants approval from its master. We want acceptance from the world. This world says, who needs marriage? And we answer, well, I guess we don't. The world says the drugs and alcohol are the thing to do. So we do them in order to fit in with the gang and to gain its acceptance. We spend money that we can't afford, or we skimp on our offerings to God in order to buy the newest or the nicest things to show off to others. We share the latest piece of juicy gossip to impress others with how informed we are and to convince them that they can count on us for the latest local news. We want to be like other people in order to be liked by other people. But in doing so, we are modeling ourselves after sinful people. Together, we stand under the righteous judgment of God's condemnation because of our sinful rebellion against His will. While the world around us, as we know it, is going to the dogs, our lives do not have to go with it. Our God has the better plan for us. His way is totally different from the world around us. We see that in God's eternal Son, who lived this life for us. God did not simply overlook, excuse, or ignore the world's rejection of His will. Jesus Christ came to live perfectly in our place. God did not ask us to sacrifice anything of ourselves in order to pay for our sins. Instead, Jesus sacrificed Himself upon the cross for us. This shows the great difference between God's ways and the ways of this world. God could have demanded His rights from us. He could have said to us, "I'm your creator, do as I say or suffer the consequences. Pay me back or be punished." Force and fear, power and punishment, that's the world's way. Instead, our God of grace revealed Himself to us as a servant, willing to suffer for us, to pay the debt we owe, to die the death that we deserve. The world sees death as a defeat, as an end. God uses death, however, as a means to victory. Jesus' victory by His own resurrection from the dead. Jesus defeats our sin. Jesus overcomes our death. What Jesus does for us is totally different from anything this world could ever do for us. In holy baptism, Jesus unites us to Himself by resurrection in the midst of this dying life. In holy baptism, Jesus frees us from our sin while in the midst of this sinful world. In holy baptism, Jesus gives us faith in Him as our Savior in the midst of an unbelieving world. In holy baptism, Jesus gives us a reason for living in the midst of this meaningless world. The difference that we enjoy as the people of God in Jesus Christ through our baptism is the love and the grace of a God who came to win our salvation. This is the God who in Jesus Christ still comes to us with His body and His blood in the Lord's Supper to assure us of that eternal victory. Here in His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes our different lives with the image of salt. Salt as a flavoring to food adds taste to it. Jesus adds flavor to our life by spicing it up with faith, hope, love, and by promising us eternal life with Him after our physical death. Now that Jesus fills us with flavor, we are to share this spiritual spiciness with the world around us. For this world does need some flavoring. It uses tasteless language in jokes to get laughs, and in conversation to seem tough. It uses tasteless sex and violence on television in order to improve ratings. Our kind words, our loving acts, and our honest ways as believers in Jesus then spice up, add flavor to this bland, tasteless, and sinful world. In Jesus' day, salt also was used as a preservative to keep food from spoiling. Our lives, guided by the Holy Spirit, also act as a preservative. The world around us is decaying. Sin and its effects are eating away at the moral fiber of the world and spoiling it like bad food. It is up to us to preserve this world. Our acts of charity, our words of hope, our lives of worship And our education of children in the Christian faith preserves some decency in this rotten world. It is not government laws, taxes, or prisons that are keeping this world from going nuts. Instead, it is the salt of our Christian lives preserving basic goodness. The other image that Jesus uses in this passage is that of light. Light brightens dark places and makes them safe. We can hurt ourselves in our own houses just by walking around in the dark of the night. Well, the darkness of this world is our sin. As people living in sin's darkness, we hurt ourselves and we hurt one another. Jesus came to give the light of hope to this world, shining the way back to life with our God forever. Jesus now makes us lights, reflectors of his light. For light to be true light, it must shine so that others can see its rays. The elites of our society want us to keep our Christian faith to ourselves. Jesus, however, calls upon us to live our lives like a city on a hill or a lamp on its stand. We are to live our Christian lives so that others see our faith in us. There is a story of an older man who could not see very well. He could hardly hear, and he walked very slowly. But he still attended worship every week, even though obviously he couldn't get much from it. And so one Sunday, a fellow church member asked him, Why do you still come to church? The little man looked up and answered in a loud voice, "Because others need to see me in worship." Whether it is our worship attendance, the way we raise our children, the way we treat others, or how we act when we think no one else is looking, people need to see us living our Christian lives. Not for them to be impressed with us, not for us to earn any awards or to win praise, because we are not the light. We do our good works instead to reflect the true light of Christ that shines into our lives through his word and through his sacraments. We live so that others will praise the true light, our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who created, saved, and called us to a new life of faith and hope. In this passage, Jesus uses the images of salt and light to describe God's difference in our lives. If he were speaking to us today, maybe Jesus would use that image of cats. They are proud and independent animals, happy with who they are apart from anyone's approval or acceptance. Jesus has made us cats with an out-of-this-world self-esteem, which comes from God's great love for us. Jesus has made us salt, adding taste to and preserving our world. And Jesus has made us lights, reflecting his glory into the world. This comes from our God who loves us so much that he gives us his own Son, that we may not perish, but have eternal life. To God alone be all of the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the common confession of our Christian faith. We make use of the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are printed for us on the back cover of our hymnals. We stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church, remembering those listed for us in our worship folder. We add to that list Lutheran Hour Ministries on this Lutheran Hour Ministries Sunday. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Give counsel and aid, O Lord, for your people cry to you in weakness and in need. Bless and prosper your church according to your purpose, that she may be salt and light, giving bold witness to the redemption you have provided in Jesus Christ, and giving shape to your love by showing compassion to all who are in need. We thank you for those who serve in your mission through the agencies of our church, remembering especially on this day Lutheran Hour Ministries with its outreach of the gospel, bringing the Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. We thank you for all those ministries that are reaching out into the world with the good news of your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, bless our Synod, her congregations and schools, her pastors, teachers, deaconesses, musicians, and all her faithful servants. Bless all preparations for the coming convention of our church body this summer, especially those gathering nominations for elected office. Send laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that they may be faithful and steadfast in their work. Bless and guide Reverend John Ingall as he prayerfully considers your call to him through our congregation to be Emmanuel's next pastor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. O God, give your blessing to our homes, to husbands and wives, to the children in their care, and to extended family members. Guide us to serve each other in love. Make our homes places of blessing and peace where your word is spoken, your forgiveness is shown, and your love is demonstrated in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, according to your wisdom, you establish rulers of this age for a time. Remember with mercy our president and Congress, our governor and legislature, our judges and county employees, and all those whom you have placed in authority, that they might fulfill their duties with wisdom. Protect and defend all those who serve for our protection as law enforcement officers, emergency responders, firefighters, healthcare workers, and military members, including Drake and McKenna. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, comfort to the grieving, and peace to the dying. Especially do we remember Evelyn, Nolan, Lindsay, Bryce, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Gail, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Charlotte, Kathy, Elliot, and all those we name before you in the silence of our hearts. According to your will, deliver them from their afflictions, sustain them in their struggles, and give them patience in their adversities. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your righteousness goes before us, and your glory is our past protection. Answer our pleas for love and mercy this day on behalf of those who may not be with us in person, but who are near to us in our hearts and minds, as we remember Norma, Walter, Millie, Janet, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, Phyllis, and Stanley. Lord, in your mercy, all these things we pray, O Lord, in confidence of your mercy. Supply us with all things needed and beneficial to us and to our faith. And keep from us all things harmful, that we may rest our fears in you and be granted a clear conscience and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. stand and join in the singing of the offertory inscription, Your Worship, Holder. May we thy precepts, Lord, fulfill in 698.